everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the SmackDown Summary. Kind of a big SmackDown, so it's unfortunate that we've had to send Kenny McIntosh to spoiler rehab. I know everyone was really looking forward to hearing from Kenny McIntosh today. He's so excited about the events that transpired on SmackDown last night. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, in the heat of passion, Kenny got a little too excited. Kenny posted a spoiler on the Inside the Ropes fan community. I was not very happy about this. He's been told, he's been sent to spoiler rehab. He has been, you know, like, he needs to atone for his actions. And honestly, like, I just feel that we need to lead by example here. And if one of our admins is, you know, posting ridiculous spoilers and things, like, punishment needs to happen. Repercussions need to, you know, there need to be repercussions for his actions. So unfortunately, Kenny McIntosh will not be appearing on the SmackDown summary today, but I did draft in a replacement for him. The voice of wrestling, if you ask him. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but whatever. I have David J. McCutcheon here with me. Hi, David. How are you?
You know, Sandra, I had all this lined up and I was going to tell you specifically, Sandra, I am now the voice of wrestling. This is how I need to be introduced from here on out at Inside the Ropes. Because I don't know if you knew this or not, Sandra. I correctly predicted that AJ Styles would unseat the incumbent champion Jinder Mahal on November 7th in Manchester for SmackDown. I predicted that, Sandra. I know that you in your heart of hearts were thinking it because you're smart just like me. And Kenny would have never even guessed that because he's an idiot. But me, I'm so intelligent that I immediately said, you know what? I'm going to make a proclamation. I'm going to put my reputation as the voice of professional wrestling on the line. And I'm going to say loud and clear from the mountaintops of Twitterverse, I am predicting this, and so it shall be, because I am the Nostradamus of professional wrestling Twitter today. I am David J. McCutcheon, the voice of wrestling.
Of course you are. Wait, what?
Excuse me, motherfucker. Sandra, you fucking sit in the corner where you belong for a second till I deal with this prick. Listen, what? You glory hound fuck. You fuck off and you don't watch SmackDown because, oh no, a guy I don't like is the champion. And you run away. Yeah. You fucking turn your back like the snake that you are. So if you think that you're going to get to talk about this episode, the episode I've wanted since fucking May, you heart attack, tofu eating fuck, you are no longer going to be part of this episode. You are cut. It's true. I'm not even ribbing you. It's not a WWE intermission. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Jinder Mahal is no longer the WWE champion. I am, Sandra, joy does not begin to express the emotions. Joy, I mean, you saw the slow-mo video of my legitimate, genuine live reaction that we are finally rid of the Jinder era. What a fucking time to be alive, am I right?
I mean, genuinely, I don't think I've ever seen you look happier. You looked, you were actually crying. Like, you actually had tears. And you were being like me. You were being like me levels of excited about a wrestling show. I mean, you usually get pretty excited about wrestling, but like, oh boy, this was intense for sure. Like, I'm really glad that you got to have that moment of complete surprise.
I've been walking around all day, ladies and gentlemen. Because the thing is, like, some people are going, oh, I want to listen to Kenny, just be like, you know, I'm not going to be shouting this because there's no need to shout because I'm happy. I'm happy again. The skies are blue, the grass is green. I don't care if there's condoms on the street because it doesn't matter. Because Jinder is now the condom that's been tossed away. AJ Styles is the big cock that is the champion. But today,
I don't know how AJ Styles feels about being the big cock, but I guess go with it.
The gay community. But the thing is, I've been walking around since last night with a permanent erection. Like, I just can't get rid of it. Like, it's everywhere. I would take a picture, but in this climate, I probably shouldn't.
I mean, that could be a serious medical issue. I've heard you should probably call a physician if it lasts more than 4 hours.
Well, at this point, I'm basically hanging my clothes on it. So, I'm very happy. As you can imagine, I have some stories about being there in the arena for SmackDown Live. And, you know, because I did feel quite bad because I did put a spoiler up. But luckily, WWE posted out about 5 minutes afterwards. So I was kind of vindicated in that they did it as well.
Well, some of us don't follow WWE sites for that very reason.
And also, Ennis McVeigh spoiled it as well. Big Ennis. And we met up after the show and I said, Ennis, you put a spoiler out. And he was like, I don't give a fuck. AJ won. And I was like, I know, but we probably should try and lead by example. The thing is, I understand people that are like frustrated, but there was like one guy... who it was like, so you know the reaction thing of me when he won when he lost, right?
Yeah.
And we had it all ready to go, and I was like, I'm not going to put live on YouTube till the match is finished.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up watching the actual show later on, and as soon as the show finished, we clicked upload onto the YouTube channel, and this guy just wrote his diatribe like, thanks very much for spoiling it. It's not been on the West Coast yet. It's like, oh my god, you can never win.
I mean. Once something's aired, so my issue with the spoiler in the fan community, because I was pissed. Like, I was really
angry. In my defense, every single week that you watch SmackDown, as far as I was aware, you do not go on any form of social media in case a show gets spoiled. So I figured...
During the broadcast, I don't.
Because it was in the UK, I figured it was a safe zone. I didn't think so you were going to be there. You know I wouldn't
do
that to your purpose.
It's not just about me. Like, there were other people who got spoiled by the community as well. And because the rules are very strict in the community, and because we feel that it's like a spoiler-free zone, because it's always been that way, because we're pretty, you know, strict about keeping it that way, I figured it was safe. And I was on Facebook doing other stuff. And so I clicked on the app, and it was the first thing that popped up was your post. And I was just like, I mean, I was really looking forward to SmackDown. I was really looking forward to seeing what was going to happen. And then I just knew.
And I maintain that had you not seen that, you would have seen it through somebody else.
I don't think I would have.
Well,
I genuinely
I tell
would
you what
not
I'm going to do. I'm literally going to start my own community where I can talk about things. Because here's my thing, right? This is just my opinion. I do respect other people's things, but this is just the way I approach it. If I don't want to know what's going to happen, I don't go on social media. That's just that's the way I approach it. Like, in last May or whenever it was, there'd be like a UK Raw and SmackDown. If I don't want to know what's going to happen, then I won't be online when the show is taking place. Because I know that, like, when you're at a show, you're going to get excited and you're going to tweet something. Or I get it. Like, it's... And there's times when it's been spoiled, I go, oh, well, fuck. But I just choose to stay off it. Now, I know some people think that they should be able to go on social media and not have it spoiled. I do understand that. Last night was an extenuating circumstance. It was the happiest moment of my life that I sent out. So I'm going to create my own little community, because here's the two points where I am worried about. I'm worried about the Royal Rumble. Because can you imagine, as soon as that airs, people are going to want to talk about it, and they can't talk about it. Now,
right.
What do you think about Ennis? Ennis has got a new thing now where he's with the help of Sean Campbell, come up with spoiler gates, which probably means that you can spoil anything you want, but you have to put a capital letter spoiler gate at the top that you're going to spoil something. Apparently.
I mean, I prefer that it still goes like under some sort of hidden thing so that you have to click continue to actually see what it says, but whatever. Maybe I'll just unfollow the Facebook group. That's fine too. But no, like I was frustrated yesterday because going into SmackDown, it wasn't as exciting for me because I knew what happened and all that kind of stuff. So just for the people who are frustrated, like I'm just saying, like, I'm on your side because I was frustrated too. And you know, it is what it is. I can't unknow it. It's fine. It's not like I'm going to fight with Kenny over this and we're going to, you know, have this major blowout and everything like that. Like, I think there was a moment yesterday where Kenny thought that I was going to be like legit pissed and not be able to record the episode. But
well, no, because I was like, it was the way that you were talking to me. I was like, this night's on the verge of being ruined because you seemed really pissed. But my whole thing is, and I mean, Sandra and I just disagree a little bit, which is fine. To me, if a show is going to be on, especially if it's a UK show. Where the WWE title's on the line, you think it might change hands, I would stay away from social media. That's what I would do. And I get it if some people don't do that, but you know, WWE spoil most things on their thing as well. So, you know, people tend to unfollow. And it's a, but it's also a hard, what's the word? Balance. It's a hard balance because people want to come online and talk about stuff.
Well, that's like, why there's the spoiler thread. Like, there's a whole thread for that.
And some people get excited, and then they get excited, and then it's hard to have something to monitor the whole time, and then it gets into a very big, messy thing. But the point is, I understand people are frustrated. Somebody left the Facebook community last night. There's nothing I can do about it, you know. I was at a show, I got very excited, and I put a Facebook up about it. I'm not going to go to rehab for it, but, you know.
I really did like Ollie's post about sending you to spoiler rehab. That cracked me up.
I
had to kind of be in my huff about it and be like, no, I'm mad. Please don't do this again. And then, you know me, like, I need to be in a huff for a little bit, and then I'll be fine. And now I'm fine.
I'll give an example just for, so, like, when... Do you remember when Raw and SmackDown first drafted, like last summer, whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to Newcastle or London or somewhere the next day, and I was watching Raw on the train, and I didn't answer 4 phone calls, refused to read any text messages, and would not log into social media so that I wouldn't get any of the show spoiled for me. And I was reprimanded by my work for not answering a call. That's the dedication. That's the dedication I go into if I don't want to know something. So, because even with the best will in the world, if you go on and you think there's even a chance that somebody's going to get too excited, it's probably just best to stay away from that area. That would be my opinion for every day. Because I don't want people to get
I sort of forgot what time it was, to be honest. Like, I didn't realize that the main event would have happened already. So
it
didn't occur to me because I don't, you know, live in that time zone. And so I just clicked on Facebook accidentally. Like, I wasn't even really going on for anything. I just like clicked on the app and it was the first thing that popped up. But
it was 9 p.m. UK time that it happened, which was mad. Like, it was very early. And then it's funny because WWE posted out about it because I think they figured that, like, if this happens at 9 p.m. and the title change isn't going to happen till like 2:50, like, it's going to get out. There's just no way around. That's the problem with the taped shows now, I think, sometimes, is that, like, what I think they should have done is maybe had it, like, live on Sky Sports. And then it could have been, and then at least, I don't know how you would do it with the USA Network, but, I think it's interesting about maybe, like, the buzz of WWE stuff compared to maybe, like, Impact Wrestling, because Impact Wrestling taped, like, 10 weeks at a time, but you never really know what's going to happen, because nobody really reports that much about it unless something, you know, monumental happens. Whereas if a WWE title changes hands, it's pretty much going to be all over the internet within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess we'll see. But anyway, let's talk about the glory of this episode. Episode number 68 here, if you're counting along at home with us. Also, big shout out to all the people in Manchester who came along to meet me and the crew and stuff. We had last night, we went out after SmackDown, Ennis and I and a few of the others, and we went out and got very, very drunk. Liam Stewart, whose birthday it was, decided to buy all of us 3 Jaeger bombs each, which was problematic, Liam, but thank you. His girlfriend Chelsea was lovely until I then decided to pick her up for a hug and then was too drunk to really be able to commit to the hug, so I just dropped her and she fell to the ground and then I ran away.
I'm just picturing you like chucking some woman and then running away. This sounds like quite the scene.
Yeah, and then there was another guy, Nathan, I think, who I randomly bumped into at 1 a.m. and we just hugged because AJ had won. That's it, we didn't need to do anything else, we just hugged. I almost got married last night. What else happened?
Why do I live in Michigan? Why do I miss all these good times?
It was very good fun. So let's talk about the show. It was in Manchester, obviously. I do actually want to say I think it was a really strong set of tapings that they did Monday and Tuesday. I think maybe one of the best Raw and SmackDown tapings they've done over here. Just for like what's the word, importance level of the stuff that happened. The shows were quite fun. to be there live. So let's get into it. They open up with a video package for AJ and Jinder Mahal, hyping the title matches in the main event. In the arena, people were just going mental for AJ Styles. Absolutely mental. Booing Jinder Mahal out of the building. I like the whole, big... It's kind of like the old Saturday night's main event. You know, you get a promo before the show starts. I like they were building the match up.
I liked that, too. I really liked the AJ and Jinder promos. It felt like... They were opening the show and it felt like a big event. It felt like an occurrence that was happening. And, you know, just them against a black screen. It wasn't, you know, Robot Dasha Fuentes going, how do you feel about the match tonight? It was just them talking to the camera, hyping it up and saying that they're going to be the WWE champion walking out. It felt big. It created an atmosphere, I would say.
So we kick off the show with Shane McMahon coming out. He comes out to make his pitch for Survivor Series. You know, he talked about, you know, it's personal now because of what happened to Daniel Bryan. He holds Kurt Angle and Stephanie responsible. He said Bryan will be back next week. There was a big boo for it being next week in the arena, but I think they've edited out the TV version.
It was interesting because I did hear them chant, "We want Bryan," but people said that there was more, like that they were booing and everything.
Everybody was booing because they weren't getting Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So they must have just edited that little bit out. So Shane then says that nothing's going to keep SmackDown down. They're going to be the premier brand. And then he brought the New Day out, obviously because they had put Raw under siege. The New Day come out, talk about putting a whooping on Raw, and they did nothing in return. And then Shane starts doing a very awkward, like, dad-like New Day Rocks thing, which brings out Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Sami told Shane that he should never dance again, which is very funny. and then, luckily, the New Day were like, have you seen your dancing, Sami? And then did Sami's dancing, which was just brilliant. And basically, you know, Owens was saying that Shane's still bitter about losing to him at Hell in a Cell and that his daddy issues forced it all to happen. Shane accused them of having no loyalty to SmackDown, and they couldn't win the qualifying matches. And it all kind of culminates in Shane booking a match between Kofi Kingston and Sami Zayn. Before we get to the match, what do you think of the opening segment?
I thought the opening segment was quite good. I think the New Day and Shane stuff went on a little bit long for me, but then as soon as Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn came out, it was excellent. The thing is, Sami Zayn is so completely right in everything he's saying. I'm like, aren't heels supposed to lie? Like, I mean, it was obviously very smarmy and hilarious when he was like, Shane, you're not cool. You're not cool. And this is, of course, dorky Sami Zayn telling Shane McMahon that he's not cool and should probably never dance again, which is just amazing. I loved that line. But then, you know, Sami talking about how this is all about Shane's ego and it's all about, you know, his daddy issues and it has to be all about, you know, Shane McMahon. He put himself, they're like, who did Shane McMahon beat to get on the Survivor Series team? Oh, no one. Right. Because he's just making it about himself and he's so arrogant. And I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely on Team Sami and Kevin here. Like, I definitely agree with them because I still question Shane's motivations and still don't really agree with them. So it just seems like everything Kevin and Sami are saying is so, so right. And Sammy's so good at this delivery. He's on fire. Like, heel Sami Zayn is so incredible. And yes, he broke my heart by turning heel, but this is absolutely the best thing he could have possibly done. And I love seeing Sami get this kind of spotlight and get to, you know, face off with Shane McMahon and be so good at it. And, you know, like, the New Day are just so juvenile in their insults. Like, I don't even remember. What did they say? Like, they said...
Called him a 1930s paperboy.
Called him a 1930s paperboy, and then they were like, oh, ha, ha, we paperboy, and the crowd actually chants paperboy, and Sammy's just like, right, right.
And then Biggie says that Owen's hand was so far up Sami Zayn's ass that when Sami brushes his teeth, Owen gets a manicure.
Right, and New Day were very pleased with themselves over that, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn had the exact response that I did, which is just like, okay, right.
So basically what you're awesome. Saying is you had a WWE heel.
Maybe I am. Maybe I just don't like WWE babyfaces. I like proper babyfaces. I loved babyface Sami Zayn when he was a proper babyface, but WWE babyfaces just don't seem to work for me very often. Like, in my opinion, you know, Braun Strowman is one of the biggest babyfaces on the roster, but I don't know if I'm supposed to think that or not.
Well, you are now. Not you weren't before, but you are now.
I mean, he's been the babyface the whole time, if you ask me. But yeah, I mean, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are so excellent. And seeing Sami Zayn versus Kofi Kingston, that whole match was also just so much fun. Like, I want more of New Day versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn because it was super, super enjoyable.
I'll disagree a little bit. I think New Day are great babyfaces. I really enjoyed them. I think the idea of them kind of like just getting a bit of a mean streak and being the sort of like lead guys to attack Raw, I like it. I think it's good. It gives them a little bit of an edge to them, which I think when New Day are kind of at their best. And I like the idea of the New Day kind of feuding with Zayn and Owens. Sammy's been really good in his promos. I feel like we're all building to like Sammy and Kevin Owens and maybe Jinder now as well, and Rusev and Aiden English. Maybe they're all going to like try and cost SmackDown or something because they're all kind of being tossed aside. Maybe that's
I would absolutely love for them to be in some sort of faction together. Like, we'll get to it.
I mean, So, then you have a match with Kofi Kingston and Sami Zayn. This was great. I love this match. Kofi Kingston was doing all this cool shit that he's not done in a while. Sami was really good as well. I just really enjoyed the match. And then in the end, there was a really awkward finish where, like, Kofi ran towards the corner, did like a moonsault that caught Sami by surprise for the win. And I just didn't really buy that moonsault would beat Sami. So it didn't really click for me, but I liked the match.
No, the finish was definitely very weird. I wasn't really super into that, but the rest of the match I was. And, you know, obviously plenty of shenanigans on the outside with New Day. And I don't know. They worked really, really well together, which isn't surprising. They're both really good wrestlers. And when I say that I wasn't as into the New Day stuff, it's not that I don't like the New Day as babyfaces. I just don't think what they're doing is very babyface-ish. So and some of it just doesn't hit for me, like just some of the humor when they try to be so over the top. I don't know. But
trust
maybe
me,
I'm just...
I've been there as well.
And I'm just such a... Like, Sami Zayn is just striking all the right chords with me. So I'm like, nope, you're right. Yes, sir, I agree with you.
I feel like Sami Zayn is one of those people that he could pretty much do anything. It would be very hard to get you to turn against him.
It would be. It would be very, very difficult. And I thought that maybe I was ready to turn against him when he broke my heart, but now he just keeps being so incredibly right and charming about everything. So I can't. Like, he's just too good. But yeah, I want to see more of these guys working together, because I think the story works for me too, because if New Day is leading the charge against Team Raw and New Day is kind of in Shane McMahon's pocket, you know, Sami Zayn's kind of right to call them puppets and say, you know, like, oh yeah, well, you're just, you know, doing what Shane McMahon says. We are here and we have integrity and we're not going to be a part of that kind of stuff. So the story, I think, is interesting. And even though I wasn't really big on the, you know, the whole Under Siege thing, and I'm still a little iffy on it, at least it is leading to some in-show stories, and we're not just getting repeat matches that don't matter because we just have to have repeat matches on the way to Survivor Series. That was one of my fears, was that it wouldn't lead to any in-show storytelling and that there wouldn't really be anything to do there. So I think having Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on the outside of the Siege and not being a part of it and still being, you know, like still being against Shane McMahon, that does actually create some really interesting in-show drama for me, which I appreciate.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because for me, the Survivor Series and Under Siege thing is just totally working for me. Like, I'm all in. I think it's great. And there's so much interesting stuff going at the Survivor Series on both brands, because there's so much like dynamic on each show, but then also there's the inter-promotional dynamic, like the Shield versus the New Day. I'm all in for that. I like that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens don't have anything to do because it's really intriguing about what they would do at Survivor Series. I like that Shane sort of, you know, made this, you know, we're going to attack Raw to sort of, you know, make a statement, and then they went after Daniel Bryan, so now that's, you know, SmackDown are even more against them. Raw trying to kind of get back. Then Stephanie comes out and says Kurt Angle needs to win or she's going to find a new GM. So there's all these different things.
Yeah, but didn't she threaten to fire everyone last year and they lost and didn't get fired?
Yeah, but I mean, she didn't say last year, if you lose, I will find a new general manager. But she did like flat out tell Kurt Angle that if he does not win, then she's gonna find a new GM. Which I mean,
she did say wrestle like your jobs depend on it, because they do.
Yeah, I mean, but she was vague enough about it last year. I'm just saying, for me it works. For me it really works. I'm really excited. I'm more into SmackDown than I've been in forever. or well, since April. I'm enjoying both shows, and it's funny because like Survivor Series, like 24 hours ago, Survivor Series was like, it'll be okay, and now I'm like, okay, I'm all in.
Now all of a sudden, I mean, things have just completely changed in the past couple of days, and that was what was surprising about these tapings too, because they tend not to do huge moments in the UK, which I mean, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. But because it's pre-taped and they don't want it to get out and whatever, but I mean, to have two title changes, like one on Raw and one on SmackDown, that was huge. Like they completely shifted the whole makeup of the Survivor Series card in those two nights. So it really does feel unpredictable, like anything could happen.
I mean, the idea that, you know, I mean, well, if you're listening to this, you know what happened, but like the idea that now there's going to be AJ versus Brock Lesnar, Shane, Cena, Orton, Rude, and Nakamura against Angle, Jordan, which, you know, at least there might be progress in that story, even though you might not buy him in the match. Joe, Braun, and Finn. And then you've got, you know, where's Sammy and Kevin? Where's Kane? Then you've got the Bar against the Usos. Nikki against... Alexa against Natalia. The New Day against the Shield, if that happens. Like, there's so much stuff on that show. That this, to me, just feels like a huge Survivor Series. The women's match as well, with Alicia Fox as the Mad Captain. And then, like, next week we've got Charlotte and Natalia. So if Charlotte wins that, then the matches change. So I quite like the unpredictability of it. So I guess we'll see if it turns out to be any good. We get an interview with Jinder Mahal backstage. He talks about, you know... that if he was having lunch, AJ Styles would be the appetizer and Brock Lesnar's the entree. And basically says he's going to beat AJ Styles. The promo was fine.
It was fine. I mean, it's not like Jinder Mahal does not set the world on fire with his promos, but he has gotten better. He has improved for sure. I don't know that he is the greatest talker in the world. Bless him for having goals. I did watch your interviews with Jinder Mahal, by the way. Check those out on YouTube, youtube.com/InsideTheRopes. But to hear Jinder Mahal talk about who he's going to be champion until WrestleMania, which did not come to pass. But yeah, I mean, Jinder's fine in this promo.
We then get a match which kind of, you know, was very interesting. It was Randy Orton versus Rusev, and if Rusev wins, he gets in the Survivor Series team. Which, again, this is more intrigue about Survivor Series, because Rusev is now, you know, he has this match with Orton, he loses, so now what's he going to do?
Ooh.
What's he going to do at Survivor Series? And then, also, I have to say to you, I sat with Ollie in the arena, and Ollie turned to me and said, when Aiden English was singing, he was like, literally, 94% of people can sing the way he sings. Like, it's...
I don't think they can. I just don't think they can. I like his voice. And also, his song was so good, though, right?
I'm not saying that his songs aren't good. I'm just saying, like, four people in our section sang exactly like him. And it was like, there was only six of us in the section. Well, there wasn't six. There was six of us in the general area. But do you know what? I like him with Rusev. I do like him with Rusev. I think he's good with him.
I think he's a better singer than Elias Sampson. And
he is a better singer than Elias Sampson.
Yeah.
But then so, I'm a better singer than Elias Sampson. So are you.
I mean, I don't know if I am. I'm pretty terrible. But, like, I loved Aiden English's song here, you know, talking about how he's, you know, like, Rusev, who's beaten Randy Orton before, and how, you know, he's going to beat him again and all this stuff. Like, I love the evolution of this whole Rusev Day thing, and that now Rusev has Aiden English to be his musical introduction, because, of course, Rusev deserves a musical introduction. Like, he should absolutely get a grand entrance for every day, because every day is Rusev Day, right? And I don't know, the two of them together work so, so well for me. And they play it up on Twitter too, which is super fun. I mean, Randy Orton is Randy Orton. I don't really understand why Rusev had to beat Randy Orton to get a spot on the team, but it wasn't like Randy was going to lose his spot on the team. Like, Randy's already had a match to be on the team, so I guess this was just sort of because reasons? Like, I know Randy Orton and Rusev have history and they have issues, and I guess this is just, they're trying to play it off as a continuation of that. Like, that logic didn't really land for me, but it is interesting that he lost, because I was like, but why can't he be on the Survivor Series team? Like, why would you not want to have Rusev on your team? But if it's leading to something, like, there was an interview that he did on Twitter, and I'm trying to remember what all he said, but, like, he was mad about having to face Randy Orton again. You know, he was just like, why do I have to face him? Like, I was preparing for AJ Styles, or because he was supposed to face.
It was supposed to be AJ Styles and Rusev this week.
Yeah, it was supposed to be AJ Styles and Rusev.
For the final spot.
For the final spot. And so he was upset that, you know, on a moment's notice, he got thrown Randy Orton, who, yeah, like he's faced before, but he was preparing for AJ Styles. He was preparing for someone quicker. He was preparing for someone else and then had to face Randy Orton instead, who, you know, like he's Randy Orton and he was sneaky or something. I don't remember. But it was that promo that I was like, yeah, you know what? I basically just want Rusev and Aiden and Sammy and Kevin to overthrow Shane McMahon and be a faction and be completely right and justified in their actions, because it seems like that might be where they're going, because Rusev is now taking issue with Shane McMahon putting him in this match that he wasn't prepared for, which is an interesting story.
It feels like they're going that way. I thought the Orton Rusev match was really fun. Rusev, you know, was kind of battering him for most of it. We see Bobby Roode and Nakamura watching backstage. The RKO and Rusev was just excellent. Like, Rusev just sold it like a champ. Like, he was so good. I think the intrigue is more like, well, now this is another guy who's not involved, but it feels like he's not going to go quietly into the night, right? Like, Rusev's more going to be angry, and he's going to want to do something about it. So it's creating a little bit more tension, a little bit more kind of like, what's going to happen there?
And that's the kind of like in SmackDown storytelling that I really like that they're managing to do with the build to Survivor Series. That, like I said, it was my fear that we were just going to not have any like within the world of SmackDown storytelling because we were so focused on the interpromotional stuff. And I like that they're giving us stuff to cling to. And it does add to the intrigue of the Survivor Series match too, because if all these guys are disgruntled that they weren't on the team or that they're not involved at the show, what could possibly happen? I don't know. The possibilities are great.
So then we get James Ellsworth backstage. He's outside the women's locker room. Tamina comes out. He asks for Carmella. Instead, Becky Lynch comes out. He just starts doing all these misogynistic jokes. He's like, you know, men are superior. We're in Manchester, not Womanchester. I hope you don't get hurt in the match. I just let Carmella wrestle because it makes her happy. And Becky said, well, those are ballsy statements. It's a shame you don't have any. And she walked off. So we are setting up here. So up next. So I was in the middle of...
Ellsworth was talking like every men's rights activist on Twitter. And I just so wanted to see him get his face kicked in. It was perfect.
Charlotte, Naomi, Tamina, and Lana were all at ringside. And Ellsworth comes out with Carmella. He says something to Carmella and she looks annoyed, but we don't hear what it is. So anyway, he gets booed. He's got leopard print trunks on, because of course he has.
I also love that he's wearing Becky Lynch's t-shirt with a big X on it, because that's one of those underrated things. I love when opponents wear like their foe's t-shirt to mock them. Like when Sasha Banks used to wear Charlotte's shirt and it said, do it like a boss, you know, instead of do it with flair and that kind of stuff. So I love that James Ellsworth was wearing Becky Lynch's t-shirt just to be an extra prick about it.
Then we get the match. So Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth. It wasn't the most fluid wrestling you've ever seen, but it was fun. I think it's one of two things. If you've watched SmackDown for ages and you've seen what James Ellsworth has done, this is like fun comeuppance. If you're not into the storyline, I don't know whether it was a bit too long because the wrestling wasn't great. But luckily, the two things I would say that were a plus point for it were, you know, Becky Lynch was getting worked on a little bit by Ellsworth, so they had an actual match. And then in the end, she did get to beat him, which was important.
I mean, this was pretty much everything I wanted from this match. And honestly, this was the match that I was most excited to see on the show. Like, I mean, I knew what happened with AJ and Jinder, so, you know, I did. And, you know, that aside, like, the results of those matches were the exciting things. But this one, I was just so curious to see how they would handle it. And they handled it the way I wanted them to. I didn't want it to just be a quick armbar and her beating him. Like, even though that could very well have happened, because obviously Becky Lynch is incredibly superior to James Ellsworth as a wrestler, as you could see going through this match. I mean, she carried him hard through this match. Like, seeing her basically lead him around the ring was fascinating to watch. But I like that James Ellsworth was able to get a little bit of offense in on her. I don't know if there were many strikes. It was more like pushing her around or you know, like throwing her into the turnbuckle or, you know, flash pin attempts or, but he got pinfall attempts on her. It was an actual match. And I didn't know if WWE was going to put on an actual match between James Ellsworth and Becky Lynch. And I'm so glad that they did. I know that they play it off as like, oh, well, it's because James Ellsworth's not really much of a man and ha ha ha. And the implications there aren't great, but I appreciate the fact that they actually let an intergender match happen on TV, because that's one of the things that always kind of frustrates me, actually, is just like that. I mean, a woman like Becky Lynch, who is so clearly superior to James Ellsworth in the ring, should absolutely have a chance to batter James Ellsworth. Like, that should absolutely be allowed to happen. Like, you can't tell me that it's not believable to see someone like, I don't know, like Nia Jax versus Sami Zayn, I think would be a really interesting match too. And, you know, and obviously I come from fandom where I watch a lot of intergender matches. Chikara is my favorite promotion. They live by the, you know, stand by equal rights, equal fights. And when I'm watching Chikara matches, when I'm watching those intergender matches, I don't see it as like, oh, a woman's getting beat up by a man. It's like they're wrestlers and they're wrestling, and that's what's happening. And that's what I wanted to see happen with Becky Lynch and James Ellsworth. It maybe did go on a little bit too long, just because maybe she should have been a little bit more dominant, but I was so glad that that match was allowed to happen and that she did kind of get comeuppance on him, right? Like, it was very satisfying to see her just put an armbar on him and to see her kick him around. And she was dominant in most of the match. I mean, Ellsworth got a little bit of offense, but it wasn't like he looked like he was her equal or anything, because he's not, because she's so much better than him.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I just think that, like I said, I think a lot of the enjoyment hinges on being into that story and knowing what that story is.
Well, and it's a match they've been building for so long. Like, James Ellsworth and Becky Lynch have had tension and whatever for months and months and months and months and months. And it's a match I've wanted to see for so long, and it finally happened, and they actually gave me a match. So I was elated. I loved it.
Then after the match, Becky Lynch has been victorious, and Carmella ends up super kicking Ellsworth, which I guess means that their pairing is over. It's probably the right time for her to move on from him, I would say.
I'm curious, does it mean that it's over or does it not? Because she's kicked him out before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times you can do the kick-out thing, right? Like, I don't know if... like, I think they've been really fun together. I always think you should leave the party while it's still going, rather than wait for, like, the lights to come up and it's, you know, you're the last one there. So, but I think he started becoming a regular character around this time last year. So, you know, maybe he just had a 1-year deal. Maybe he's gone. I don't know what he would do next.
I can't see where he would move on, like what he would do. I mean, I guess I never really pictured him going with Carmella either after the whole Ambrose AJ situation.
I mean, you could put him in 205 Live and have him do something over there.
I think he's a fun character to have around. I think he's been useful. I think he's been, you know, a good addition to SmackDown this year. So I think if he is gone, it worked. If he's not, then we'll see where he goes.
Yeah. I think that the sort of like misogyny he had backstage was a little bit out of left field for me, but I think that he performed it well enough that it didn't really matter. Like, because he's always kind of been Carmella's bitch, really.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to all of a sudden be like, ah, women, I just let her wrestle, you know, like,
yeah, I let her wrestle because it makes her happy. Like, I mean, it was kind of out of left field. It also, I was very glad that that was presented in a way to be like, the heel is saying this, like the heel is saying that a man shouldn't wrestle a woman.
And in the arena, the people were very behind Becky, you know, people were very against him, and you know, there was chance of, hey, Becky, I want to know, will you be my girl, kind of thing. So people were very behind her. So yeah, it was a good piece of business, as JR would say. We see Charlotte backstage with Shane McMahon when the worst actress in the history of the world, Natalia, walks in. She wants to know why she was called. She says, you know, she'll defend against Alexa Bliss, and then she'll take Charlotte's spot in Team SmackDown. Charlotte calls her delusional, and Shane says that since Natalia kept the title of Hell in a Cell by using a chair, that didn't sit well with Daniel Bryan or Shane, so she's going to have to defend the title next week against Charlotte, and the winner will take on Alexa Bliss at Survivor Series. I think it's good to put that in people's heads, especially after what's happened on Raw and SmackDown this week. You never know, a title might change hands. So I think it's a good hook for the go-home show.
It is a good hook for the go-home show. And I mean, if I have my choice, like, I definitely would prefer that Charlotte win the title and face Alexa Bliss. That's a match I want to see a lot more than Natalia versus Alexa Bliss. So it'll be intriguing. Like, you can't say whether it's going to happen or not at this point. And that's, you know, something that they've done really well. They did two title changes. They're actually changing things up on the way to Survivor Series. So it's possible that we have another title change next week. I'm going to be watching and trying to figure it out and absolutely avoiding social media during work so that, you know, like I genuinely don't know what's going to happen with it. And if the title change doesn't happen and we do get Natalia versus Alexa, I'm sure it'll be fine. And Charlotte will, you know, probably look good on Team SmackDown, but kind of hoping that Charlotte wins. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see.
I just wish Natalia were better at these segments because her cat ear headband is amazing. So I really want to like her, but she's just so bad at carrying this off, which is another reason I'm not super stoked with her as champion, because as mental as she is and as fun as her being a crazy cat lady can be, it's just, she's not a strong enough performer for this role.
I think part of the problem is like SmackDown, I mean, Raw and SmackDown, like, I'm really bored of both women's divisions.
There's not much going on in either one, which is very frustrating.
And I don't even know if there's much that you can do with the six people they've got to excite me. Like, I feel like we need new blood on both.
We do.
So hopefully they're able to do that at some point. I mean, I'm also curious if they end up doing the whole four horsewomen versus four horsewomen thing, how you handle that. You know, how you, especially when Charlotte and Becky are both on SmackDown and Bayley and Sasha mm-hmm. are both on Raw. Like, how do you handle that story?
Well, it was pretty glaring to me when, I don't know why the entire women's division was out for Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth. Like, was it supposed to be a lumberjack match or something? Or I mean, were they just there?
I guess the idea is that it's because misogyny means that they want to make sure that he gets his comeuppance. But I mean, that, again, I think the thing with Becky Lynch and James Ellsworth is something I would say, enjoy it for what it was, don't look too far into it, because if you do, you'll find a lot of plot holes. So just
right.
enjoy it for what it was.
My thing was saying the whole women's division, though, like, it's glaring how few women there are on SmackDown.
Okay.
When that's your whole division, and, you know, they're only just like a few women standing on one side of the ring. It's not like they can surround a ring. It's not like there is a proper division at this point. So I think, I mean, we desperately need more women to come to both rosters, but especially SmackDown right now, I would say.
And then the other problem is, like, I mean, SmackDown's in a weird place where, like, it feels like the women's division's, like, not got much. It feels like they need more. But then, like, they don't even have enough room to put everybody on TV. I mean, on this week's show, we didn't have Corbin, we didn't have Nakamura, we didn't have Bobby Roode, we didn't have the Fashion Files, we didn't have any of that stuff. You know,
the only thing I missed out of that was the Fashion Files.
But you know what I mean.
But,
you know
but
what
not
saying.
Everything has to be on TV every week, though. I mean,
no, that's
you know,
true,
and
but
NXT's different, but there are, you know, weeks on NXT where you don't see certain people, but it still works. It doesn't feel like they're an omission or like they didn't make the cut. It's just some weeks you advance one story, some weeks you advance another story.
True, but you know, the way they're going to look at it from, like, on a touring schedule is that they bring all these people to TV, so they want to do
right.
stuff with them. And it's like, they're probably not going to bring in four new women because they barely use the women they've got, but they need to bring in new women, so I don't know how you solve it. But
it would really help if some of the women were better performers as well.
My God.
Because it's not like, you know, we're all angling to see more Tamina matches. That's just not the case. If you have someone like, you know, Nikki Cross come up or, you know, take your pick of so many of the women who are so incredibly good and talented and in the NXT reserves who haven't even been used on NXT TV all that much, right? Like, you have someone like Sarah Logan or Abby Laith or whoever. There are so many women down there that are so talented, and it's just kind of ridiculous that they can't build toward any main event level matches between women on the main roster because they're just not allocating their performers properly. And it's not that there isn't talent on the main roster. I mean, you have, you know, wrestlers like Charlotte and like Becky, but you can't just have two women who are super, super good. You know, like, you need more to tell stories.
Agreed. Up next, they have Gable and Benjamin coming out for their tag title match with the Usos. Gable and Benjamin have maybe the most generic Titantron I've ever seen. Like, I feel you could make it in 5 seconds. An observation.
Yeah, no, I wish there were more to Gable and Benjamin. Like, it kind of bums me out that there's not, because I really like them. I like the idea of them, and I do like them, and I like them in matches, but when they're called American Alpha 2.0, that's exactly how it feels right now. I wish that they had some more fire to be like, no, we're not just American Alpha 2.0. Like, we're our own team, and we're going to prove ourselves and all this stuff, but they don't really seem to be doing anything to dispel that. You know, the Usos backstage talking to them, I think, was it last week? And they were like, so who are you? Like, what are you doing here? Why is this, like, why are you just a replacement for Jason Jordan? And it kind of feels like he's just a replacement for Jason Jordan. They're not really differentiating themselves. And that's kind of frustrating to me, because I don't want what happened to American Alpha to happen to Gable and Benjamin, because I think they're both super, super talented.
Yeah, I mean, history does not bode well for Gable and Benjamin, given that American Alpha didn't really get to do that much. But hopefully they've learned from their mistake, and Gable and Benjamin can do something. They have a very short title match where, in the end, the Usos get counted out. It was a weird finish, because, like, Shelton's staring down Jey Uso, but doesn't try and bring him back in the ring, and the Usos get counted out. And I'm like, well, Gable and Benjamin kind of look a bit stupid, because it's a title match. And
yeah, and if you let the count out happen, then you're not going to win the title. Did one of the Usos get legit hurt? Like, because the way it ended just seemed really strange and kind of out of left field. And I don't know, like, it didn't look like something that was planned. And maybe it was, I don't know, because he was, you know, clutching his leg so much. And I guess maybe that could be a tactic to, like, he wanted to get counted out. But yeah, the ending was just weird, and the match wasn't long enough to really get into any kind of gear. So this was a little underwhelming for me, because I really wanted to see these two teams face off.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, I mean, I guess they're probably gonna have another match post Survivor Series, I'd imagine.
I assume.
So we have an interview with AJ Styles backstage with Renee, and AJ talked about being overlooked, and that Jinder should practice portion control, because the last thing he wants to do is take AJ too lightly. He's never been the biggest or the strongest, but he's phenomenal because he works the hardest, and he's going to beat Jinder and then slay the beast at Survivor Series. I was still not allowing myself to believe. We find out that Sin Cara next week is going to get another match with Baron Corbin, because they're both alive, so may as well wrestle. Charlotte and Natalya for the
stuck
women's
on
title.
Repeat. Is it ever going to be for the title? Like, is Sin Cara versus Baron Corbin, is it going to be for the title next week?
Oh, who gives a fuck, Sandra?
Well, if it is for the title and Sin Cara, I almost just said if Sin Cara wins the title, we're going to get Sin Cara versus The Miz.
Oh, God.
that could be a possibility.
Oh. Oh, I felt like I was just shot with a gun. A gun of fucking masked shite.
Oh, can you even imagine?
The New Day against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens next week, that should be great.
Yes, definitely looking forward to that.
So the Singh brothers make their entrance. If you want to see the Singh brothers make another entrance, they very annoyingly, I'm waiting for Jinder for my interview with him, and all of a sudden the Singh brothers just invade the interview and decide to introduce Jinder, because apparently wherever he goes, he gets introduced by the Singh brothers.
Of course. I mean, he needs to make his grand entrance.
Apparently so. AJ versus Jinder for the WWE title. Oh my God. Like, David McKenzie brought something up on Twitter, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit. He said, you know, oh, you've done a bit of a 180 on Jinder. Because the thing is, if I do an interview, I can bring certain things up, but I have to be professional. Like, I can't just be like, mate, I thought your match with Nakamura was shite. Like, I can't say that as much as I would maybe want to. But I did ask him about some of the criticisms about his reign. I challenged him on a couple of things. But the thing is, he's never going to turn around and say, oh yeah, Kenny, I mean, I'm just not very good. Like, why would he do that? Why would he ever? So, you know, I asked the questions I could, and I thought it was a fun interview. I thought that he came across pretty well. I've said before, I think he's actually much more likable in person than he is on TV. But the reason that David had tweeted me this with the 180 is because I actually said I thought this was a really good match. I thought this was Jinder's best match I've ever seen him in. Ever. And I know a lot of that's probably to do with AJ Styles. It's not like I'm saying Jinder's the workhorse. You know, I'm not, you know, moving mountains here, but I think that Jinder did well here. He did the cuddle the best way I've seen him do it so far. Like, it actually looked like it hurt this time. And I think that he must have known, you know, going out on this thing, that he wanted to have something. And I think that people want to hear me go crazy about it, but I think that he deserves to continue in some way on TV. Which I know people be like, what the fuck? Not in the main event, but like, put him in the mid-card. Like, let him do some stuff and let him see if he can keep improving and see what happens. You never know. I mean, like, if you'd have told me 2.5 years ago that Braun Strowman would be my favourite, I'd have told you to go fuck yourself. So, yeah, I thought he did well here, so that's why I'm saying it. I'm not saying it to be a suck-up or that I've all of a sudden not said anything bad about him. But I thought he did well. And I go back and forth because the reaction I had to this, I can't remember the last time I reacted this way to a title reign, so does that mean that it was worth it? I don't know, because there's been a lot of pain and anger. But then there's been a lot of Patreon subscriptions, so maybe it has been worth it. Because Ross Adams did point out on Twitter, you know, do you realise that the popularity of Inside the Ropes and your Patreon and all that sort of stuff can be attributed in part to what culture engenders reign? I was like, that irony is not lost on me.
No, it's very true.
So I thought Jinder did pretty well. The match was, I thought, really strong. AJ Styles killing the Singh brothers will never get old, ever.
Nope, it's incredible. I love it.
You know, and I thought they paced the match pretty well. I like the kind of calf crusher thing that, you know, Jinder kept kind of getting to the rope or getting away from it. And then, like, you know, when he hits the phenomenal forearm, but then out onto the floor, and then Jinder does the big hug, and then when he goes to cover him, AJ gets the foot on the rope, and then he sets up for a top rope. What's the finisher called again? The Colossus?
The Colossus, yeah.
The Colossus. He sets up to do one off the top rope, but AJ ends up reversing it and hangs him on the top rope, and then AJ hits the phenomenal forearm and gets the 1-2-3 and becomes the WWE champion. I would describe to you how I reacted, but you've all probably seen it on the YouTube channel, and that's not that wasn't me like doing it for effect. Corey had his camera on the whole time, just saying, "I might film you if he wins." And I was like, "Mate, if he wins, I'll be getting my tits out. You can film whatever you want. I won't be looking." but the people were going mental in Manchester, and it's really cool that the UK got that moment. The WWE title's never changed hands outside of North America before. And I think that they shook things up in the right way. So, yeah. Obviously, I'm going to have loads of good things to say about it because, you know, I'm basically the guy who did not want this man to go into face Brock Lesnar. what did you think of the match and the way that it came across?
I think it was incredibly good. Like, I think it was a genuinely good match, not just a good match for a Jinder Mahal match. I think it was actually a good match. I think, like, Jinder's match with Randy Orton at Backlash was, like, okay. And that was, you know, other than his match with Seth Rollins in NXT was, you know, decent too. But this is by far the best Jinder Mahal match I've ever seen. And I think Jinder did well. I mean, I just kind of echo what you say. I think he did. And the best compliment I can give to the match is, even knowing the outcome going into it, they still managed to hook me into the match because, like, I knew how it was going to end. But I still was kind of like, oh, shit, Jinder hit the Colossus on AJ Styles. Like, how is he going to get out of this? Because mm-hmm. I was like, is he going to kick out? Is he going to, you know, and he ended up getting his foot on the rope, which was really clever. I think there were a bunch of spots that were near falls. And, you know, so, and I bit for them. I did. And so I think that's a compliment to the wrestling in the match and the story that they were telling in the ring, is that even, you know, if I know the outcome, but I'm still kind of drawn into it, then that's a good sign, right? Like, we just reviewed for Patreon, we just reviewed Survivor Series 1997 with Finn Martin. And one of the things about, you know, obviously the main event of Survivor Series 1997 is that I know exactly how that match is going to end, right? Everybody in the world knows how Survivor Series 1997 ends with the Montreal Screwjob. Mm-hmm. And that match, I'm not saying that AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal was like better than Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, but I can say the story that AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal told, I think it almost worked better for me than that Survivor Series match as a whole, just because, I don't know, the anticipation was there. It felt big. I'm watching it in current time, obviously, but it's weird. The two of them, like, knowing the outcomes of matches and just how you respond to them, it changes how you watch a match. But if you're still drawn into it, then that means that the wrestlers are doing their job and they're doing well. And the Singh brothers are always a great addition on the outside. I like them being around. I think, I mean, what you say about Jinder Mahal continuing on TV, he absolutely should continue on TV. I think Jinder Mahal actually has become a great character. Like, I don't think he should be world champion, but I think he has actually cultivated something where he is a valuable part of the roster. And, you know, I think your problem with Jinder has always been that he was world champion. It wasn't Jinder existing on the show. It was always a problem with the build of Jinder Mahal and, you know, the problematic way that Jinder Mahal just kind of keeps beating everyone to remain the champion because it felt like a political decision backstage and not like an organic story, right? It feels like all of a sudden the story is organic again because now we don't know what's going to happen. Now it's not all about, you know, trying to reach India and just having the title on this guy that nobody believes. Like, I think slowly throughout Jinder's title reign, he has turned himself into a star. Maybe he shouldn't be the main event or the face of the company, but I think he's turned himself into a valuable commodity for SmackDown. And I am curious to see where he goes from here because, I mean, he does have a rematch with AJ Styles next week. I'm terrified about that. Because he might win it back. We don't know at this point. Again, everything seems super unpredictable. I don't think he will. Like, I think we're actually going to go AJ versus Brock, but that leaves Jinder Mahal not doing anything at Survivor Series, right? Which is intriguing because Jinder Mahal was the world champion for a long time, for 6 months. And now all of a sudden he's not champion anymore. So he's not even on the card. Like, that's a story that I'm really curious to see what happens next week as well. So I think, like you said, they shook things up in exactly the right way. They've made me more intrigued to watch the show. They've made me just kind of question every outcome because whenever they do these really unexpected things, like when they had Samoa Joe win the NXT title at a house show in Lowell, Massachusetts, right? You start to question everything like, oh, could something happen on a live event? Now we know, could something happen at a UK show? Yeah, it could because it did the one time, right? And most of the time it probably won't. Most of the time the UK tapings are probably not going to be this monumental, but they were this time. And I think it's super cool that you guys got to have that moment live.
Yeah, it's funny. Karan was saying to me, he was like, it's so poetic that, you know, I got to be there for the end of it. And
I was there for the beginning.
And you were there for the beginning of it. And it's funny because I feel this, there's this weird thing with me and Jinder in that, you know, he's made me want to almost self-harm because he's so problematic as a champion. And he's made me angry on so many occasions. But then last night was like one of my favorite ever moments as a wrestling fan. Ever. Like, the happiness. Because I never thought it was going to happen. I said, no way. No way in Manchester. A taped SmackDown. Blah, 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 blah. And there's like, even when, like, you know, Jinder was doing his promo earlier in the show, I was like, ugh. Oh, he's talked about Lesnar. There's no way he's losing. And then he loses. So then in my head, I go, was it effective to get this? I don't know. Time will tell, I think, and whether that's the case or not. I think that I still think they handled how they booked him wrong. It's not his fault. But yeah, I'm because I don't want people to always think, well, Kenny interviewed Jinder, so now they're the best pals. But like, I do think that what's interesting about it is, like, you know, so he's not even on the Survivor Series team. He's not in the match. What is he going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. The intrigue is there. And I think, I mean, I don't think it's coming across like your best pals or anything like that. But I think you make an interesting point. Like, was all of the shit worth it to get to that one moment of happiness? Maybe yes, maybe no.
The biggest
maybe it
thing
shouldn't
that puts
have gone on
it.
As long as it did. But, you know, at least now they seem to have learned and they're course correcting.
The only thing right now, like, so say you go, okay, WWE title, right? And you go, okay, going forward, right, Jinder's fine because he can just be Jinder and doesn't have to be the champion, right? I think he should be in the US title picture, but that's just me.
I'd prefer him to Baron Corbin at this point, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a better character than Corbin, probably.
I think he is, honestly. I think Jinder Mahal is more charismatic and has more of a presence to him than Baron Corbin ever will.
I think that he needs to... I will say this. I saw Corbin at a house show last weekend, and I think Corbin has a lot more of a presence than people maybe think he does sometimes. Like, he is really good when he's live. I think some of it's down to booking. I think Jinder could benefit from working with, like... I'd have Jinder working with guys like Gable and stuff.
Like, yeah.
I'd have him working with guys who... guys who can help him, you know, get better in the ring. The one casualty of the Jinder Mahal title reign, apart from my hairline, is Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nakamura is dead, dead cold.
I didn't miss him on this show. And that's, well, I mean, and I'm not the biggest Nakamura fan anyway, but they're not really doing much to convince me otherwise. And I keep looking for stuff where I'm like, no, I really want to like him. And he is charismatic when he comes out. And I do love his entrance. And I love singing a song along with him. But I don't think it's, you know, over for Nakamura. I think if they wanted to rehab Nakamura and really get behind him and do something interesting, I think they absolutely could. I mean, I think you can pretty much rehab anybody and anything in wrestling if you do it right. I just don't know if they want to or if they will. So, and I think this whole Jinder Mahal situation with Nakamura did hurt him, because not only did he lose, he just lost so unspectacularly.
Yeah, that's the one, because like in my head I go, you know, I mean, AJ Styles just feels revitalized, because for whatever reason, last night, he just felt like a superstar. He felt huge.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles felt like a main eventer. And the thing is, they've done this thing where, like, Survivor Series, it's like, okay, so they're doing the Team Raw, Team SmackDown. Some people liked it, some people didn't. I was into it before, and I was like, I hope it gets better. I think it has continued to get a little bit better each week.
It has.
Which is good. You know, I thought the New Day thing on Monday was excellent, when they came out and kind of, you know, pretended they were going to do Under Siege Part 2, but didn't, and then that ended up costing the Shield the titles. It's a really cool side effect of what they did, which creates, I mean, like, for me, like, the Shield and the New Day, whoever thought that,
yeah,
that would be something you'd want to see?
And that's cool. That's really cool. Like, I'm into that match, for sure.
Because you're,
it's
like,
more than I have been into anything involving the Shield so far, because I'm still not super into the Shield. Like, I was so, so excited that Sheamus and Cesaro won the titles back. Like, so excited. That's probably not a very popular opinion. But Shield versus New Day, it's, you know, it's two factions that didn't exist at the same time. So it's kind of cool, and makes me more interested in seeing the Shield together as a unit, because my issue with the Shield facing just random six, you know, like random guys put together, has always been that it's the Shield versus random guys put together. That's what made the Shield versus the Wyatt family so good, right? Because it was actual mm-hmm. factions against one another. And that's when I think they're the most interesting, is when you have multiple factions like that. I mean, I don't want to go all like gang warfare, like DOA and Nation of Domination.
Jesus, don't bring the Bariquas,
you know,
back.
Bariquas and Truth Commission.
But I think the thing
like,
that works
that,
the thing that works about it is, I don't think, I never in my life thought I wanted to see the Shield versus the New Day. And through 2.5 weeks of invasions and stuff, I'm like, I want to see that so badly. So badly now. And then you add on top of that, Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles?
I know, right?
Oh my God, I could come. I mean, Jesus, how good is that going to be?
Because, like, I was intrigued for Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal just to see how they would do it. Just to see, like, how that match would even occur. But Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, obviously, I'm super excited for that, because that's not one where I go, how are they going to protect da, 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 and how are they going to try and make Jinder not look complete shite? Like, this is one of those ones where this is, you know, this is AJ freaking Styles and Brock Lesnar. Like, I'm so excited to see them together. Like, so, so excited. And I mean, the intrigue is there, and they're both superstars, right? Like, that feels like a main event.
That feels like a big fucking deal. That feels like champion versus champion.
That does, for sure.
I thought this was a...
And then John Cena's on the Survivor Series team. What even?
We're going to get to that. This is not a thumbs up. This is a thumbs in the fucking sky. Sandra, do you have a thumb?
Yeah, no, it's a thumbs up for me. It's for sure a thumbs up for me. I thought it was a fun show.
So we have a fun show. We're leaning into Survivor Series with fun things. And then we find out today on Twitter that Shane McMahon has drafted in as the fifth member of the Survivor Series team, John Cena.
Because, you know,
there wasn't enough going on.
Of course he did. There wasn't enough going on. Now John Cena's back. Was he, like, we didn't know that he was even going to be back for Survivor Series, right? Like,
no, we did, because he was, because, so basically Cena was going to be the referee for Mahal and Lesnar. That was the plan.
Oh, that's right.
So they had him for Survivor Series, and now this is why I think that AJ Lesnar is happening, because if they've taken Cena out of that and put him in the other match, that says to me they're not doing Mahal and Lesnar anymore, because the only reason to do Cena as the referee is to then set up for gender.
Cena gender.
Gender. Yeah, yeah. So that would be my that would be my expectation there. So it opens up all these possibilities. I mean, the idea that you're going to see Cena and Joe together, or Cena and Angle, you know, there's loads of different combinations of people in there. And, you know, I know a lot of people are shitting on Jason Jordan being in there. I actually like that might shake some things up with that storyline. So
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff.
It's an opportunity for Jason Jordan to prove himself and he could have a really interesting showing. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But I am kind of intrigued to see what kind of showing he has.
Well, he also
the Jason
good
Jordan
matches
thing
with
is
Cena
weird. Yeah, he had really good matches with Cena and Reigns.
So there's so many possibilities. And I think that's the thing, you know, Cena can get in there with all these different guys. And then Jordan, like you say, has got so much he can prove to do. That 5-on-5 match now could become like a match of the year candidate.
I'm hoping so. I mean, last year's was excellent. So I'm definitely, everything just seems so much more exciting now. Like, it seems so much more exciting than it did, you know, 24 or 48 hours ago. And that's awesome, right? Like, that's how you adapt and actually do things well leading into a big show. So I can't wait.
So there you go. Big Survivor Series, big SmackDown. AJ's the champion. Sorry, gender. You're a casualty of the phenomenal forearm. Sandra, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to celebrate with you on the dethroning of Jinder Mahal?
Find me on Twitter to celebrate the dethroning of Jinder Mahal. And also shout out to the Bludgeon Brothers, who we forgot to mention had a promo. And I don't even know what human spirit overflowing or whatever the fuck Eric Rowan was talking about means, but I love him and I don't care, and I'm so all in on the Bludgeon Brothers and Luke Harper's Back on Me TV. But find me on Twitter at Sandra Ruth RW, find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985, and follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes.
Also get us on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. Over 2 hour review of Survivor Series 97 going up tomorrow. Much, much more stuff coming. Dave and I are doing a career retrospective on Rey Mysterio, and in the next 14 days, I will be able to confirm the dates that Chris Jericho, you know, the guy that's headlining the Tokyo Dome with Kenny Omega, is coming to the UK with Inside the Ropes. We will be confirming the dates soon. Stay tuned for that. Thank you for all your support, everybody. Thank you for watching a video of me reacting to a wrestler losing a belt and actually giving a shit. I don't know why this is a thing, but I appreciate it. Jinder is gone, so there's only one thing to do. AJ's champion, it's time for a celebration. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
It's a celebration.